Hi, welcome back to Kingdom Seekers. Today I'm your host, Greg, and I'm with my good friend and pastor, Ephraim. And today we'll be talking about church hurt and how many people, many Christians of the faith have experienced church hurt, whether it's being part of the congregation, whether it's being part of leadership, and just experiencing hurt from that. And so making this podcast, just hearing with just seeing what's going on in the world with other big churches, not going to name any, but with just the people feeling betrayed, feeling hurt, sometimes backstabbed. Yeah, just a lot of hurt. And so the first question I actually want to ask my friend is, have you ever been hurt by church, by the culture, the cliques, the people?
Hi there. Thank you for having me on this podcast. Grateful to be here. I've been hurt multiple times, especially as I wanted to grow in leadership and making relationships with people, opening up to people and giving them the chance to come into your life really gives an opportunity for hurt to happen. We all have like a version that we want to see of people, and sadly, we don't always see it. And there is a version that people want to see about us, and sadly, they don't see it either. So, just realizing that the church in general will have broken parts of it, but those broken parts, when they're revealed, it's just kind of like a mechanic. You take your car to get fixed by a mechanic. When you realize that there's a part that is going wrong, you need new brakes. You need more fluid. Like you notice that, and you know that it needs fixing. So you take the procedures that are needed to get to a place of fixing those areas, and we go to a mechanic. But for us, we go to Jesus. We go to Jesus, what Jesus is teaching us, and how he wants to bring healing in those broken areas. But yeah, I have experienced the culture of cliques, the culture of not feeling even accepted in the church, and it's sad because the church is supposed to be inviting. The church is supposed to be not about cliques, but inviting the one that is seeking, the one that has felt being like they're lost, and there's broken people. So yeah, definitely have been hurt in church and not feeling wanted at times.
I can share a little bit with about church hurt. I remember one time visiting this small church, and I was getting to know some of the people. One of the guys I recognized that we had talked from a different event that we went to, and just going up saying hi and fist bump, usually what I do, and the guy just turned around and walked away. Didn't even say hi, completely ignored me, and that moment I felt rejection. And it just surprised me because we had a whole conversation before, and I felt like I was starting to bond with this guy that the one time that I met up with him at this event. And so it was just questioning of like, why is this guy completely ignoring me, not saying hi? It actually just it really hurt. And another kind of hurt that happens is when you're part of a church and people just leave. Like they don't like the ministry, they don't like what's going on. It could be that maybe they had ideas that they want to implement, and so they may have not those ideas may not have been accepted, and so they feel rejected. And so I know that I've been with you in church for a while now, actually like 5 years, I would say, like 5, 6 years. And so I know that with our church, we have had people leave. And one of the questions I would like to ask you, because I know it's happened, but with people, but what is it? What was it like to be betrayed? And anyone who's ever been betrayed, I mean, like you put trust in somebody, someone's going to help you out with your ministry. Someone's going to just be there for you, not just for ministry, but as a friend, as a brother. But just being betrayed, like where they just abandon ship. They don't want to serve. They don't even want to talk with you. They want nothing to do with you. And sometimes they'll even will speak bad behind your back, where we have been called cultish, a cult. We have been said we're hypocrites, that we're not lovers of Jesus. And we've all gone through different growths in our lives where we may have said something that we regret. And that's why there's reconciliation. And so we have tried to reconcile with people. But, you know, I think sometimes through life we'll go through betrayals with people. So, yeah, Ephraim, what was it like to be betrayed?
Well, betrayal is not a fun experience. Betrayal is actually, I would say it feels like a knife and being literally stabbed in your heart. Because like you said, you trust people, you grew up with people, you gave them your best, you try to lead them the best that you can. And when there was areas where you've noticed people's character changing towards you, just the way that they communicate with you. And the sad thing about that is that when you are willing to confront those issues and are willing to work things out and noticing certain character traits that is not normal from the person, and they choose to reject any conversation and they say that everything's okay. There's nothing wrong. And I think that's the part that is hard when you start hearing that there was a lot of things that were wrong. There's a lot of things that they weren't willing to communicate. And the sad part is that, you know, when you are being told that you're in the wrong, but nobody's willing to communicate that to you and nobody's willing to have a conversation, but instead choose gossip, choose slander, choose everything that the Bible tells us not to choose. It's hard. It's hard to understand, like, how close you can be to a person that you thought you can be so close to experiencing, people, saying certain things, be behind your back, and you have to hear it from other people. And, when you confront those issues, you know, some of them even having to lie about it and end up leaving the church with, you know, some hurt. And I believe that a lot of people are more scared to be corrected or to come into a place where, you know, finding out that they might be wrong, or, you know, and it goes both ways, you know. Two of the people can be wrong, but the worst thing that we can do in those situations that leads to betrayal, I think that having a victim mindset, that everything happens to us and that we are not people who actually have heard other people or have actually done something wrong as well. So yeah, it's not the greatest feeling because you trust people. But that's I believe that those are things that God allows to grow us. You know, Jesus was always in a place of people running away and leaving him, deserted him, and he would always come back and believe in who they were. So I think our posture is just knowing that we are going to experience these things. Once you experience it, just allowing yourself to know that it's going to happen. But the most important part is, what are you going to do when it does happen? How would you respond to it? I think that's what I've learned the most.
Well, it's, you know, it can be very heartbreaking. And, you know, we put our lives are like for God and for the community, for the people around us. And when people talk behind your back and stuff like that, that's passive aggressive. That's not going towards the issue. It's like it's avoiding it and kind of like trying to get people rallied up to basically side with you and say, hey, do you have any hurt towards them? Okay, hey, let's just talk about this. And it's demonic. It just breeds darkness and it allows the enemy to take root in the heart. And there needs to be reconciliation. And as best as it is, as us leaders, we all need reconciliation because we all mess up. We all have mistakes. And I guess this question's partially been answered, but when people leave, how do you handle it? I guess it's more of like when you see like a big movement. Something I've learned, especially in the first like my home church I was at, I was used to this certain pastor, but I didn't know this, but there was a pastor before him that everybody was like loved. And once he kind of transitioned out and had his son-in-law take over, there was a huge shift. Like I think they said half the congregation left. And I have heard that with another church, and some other people have spoke about that with this other church. The same thing. Like there was this pastor, he was well known, like everybody loved him, and then someone comes up to take over because he's stepping down, and people leave. And so, even with our church, when you had your first child, you had another friend of ours speak for like a month or two. And I noticed that there was less people showing up because I think it's like favoritism, and that can kind of hurt. Like God is still using people, it's not just the pastor. It can be the associate pastor. It can be just somebody that God wants to use. And like think about David, how he was the youngest, the smallest, and the father of David was saying, oh, look at my other sons, all these big tall ones, strong, like all these appearances, and God can use the lowest, smallest person. Like it doesn't have to be this well-known speaker. And so I guess with that thought, like with pastors stepping down for a moment or a season and then just like someone taking over, what's your thoughts on that? Like people going to church for the speaker and not for Jesus.
I think we've become too comfortable with what we want, and the church, particularly serving our needs and what we want to see in the church environment. And if anything gets disrupted with that, people start to make decisions based on what their needs are not being when their needs are not being met. But that's why our primary focus is to have a relationship with God, and our response should always be, okay, this transition is happening, God. How do you want me to help the next leader coming up? Asking God questions, praying to God. And the worst thing that we can do is really lean on our own understanding, that really gives an opening to being led by our emotions and what our thoughts and our heart. And the Lord says in His words that our thoughts are not His thoughts. So not everything that we think about situations is not from God. It can be thoughts that are more pleasing to the flesh rather than pleasing to the kingdom of God. And that's where I think the relationship with God is, it's the most important thing, asking God, what is my next step? Are you, because this person's movie is there a transition happening in my life as well? Like always communicating with God, not taking any step further in our life because we're not comfortable. Not taking decisions because we're in a place where it's shaking up our comfort. And I think giving also other people's the opportunity to lead, to make mistakes, and encouraging the believer that is also in a place of getting hurt by people in the church. We talk about talk about members being hurt, church in the herd by members and leaderships. But I always think that it is, I always ask myself this question to anybody who is like, primarily like, I think that leadership should always have accountability and people judging it and making sure that they are going back to the word, you know, and there's got to be a lot of talks, but and that also benefits the leader, you know, to have that accountability. But there, then there is judgment, and then there is the judgment that comes from people that don't attend church, but have always something to say about the pastor, the church, are always not having the fruit of the Spirit. If you start to know their character is always finding ways to argue with people, finding ways to be right. That's a root of pride. That is not a root of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible is telling us to be aware of such fruits, because then we will know by what they're working from. They could be working from the flesh, which the flesh in itself invites demonic spirits to speak into their lives. It invites emotions that are not even pushed by the flesh, but it's like pushed by spirits that are enticing people to do things that are not godly. So that's why primary focus is going back to God. If we go back to what we don't like, then we're really our own masters. We really don't have a master over us. And I think that's the core value. And I always, when people ask me, like, a certain person said this and a certain person said that, I evaluate the person that is saying things about me. First of all, if it's coming from out of gossip and not direct conversation, that's already a red flag. The other thing, if it's always people who are not even leading, but are bashing other people that are trying to lead, it's kind of like bashing marriage when you're not even married. Like, you're not married. You haven't even given yourself the opportunity to be in a relationship, because you don't want none of that. But other people are giving themselves the opportunity to be involved in marriage, take the step to grow and take the step to experience it, like doing it even in a place of being afraid, doing things while they're feeling afraid. So it's like criticizing people who are leaders when you're in a place of not leading, not coming to church, not being active even in your own personal life. It shows. It automatically shows. So it's also like we look at church being hurt, but we don't look also the leaders in themselves are being hurt. We don't look that Jesus was hurt being a leader. We don't know that he took a huge burden of us at the cross. We don't look like Jesus himself in ministry was hurt. We can't say that, you know, we see that Judas had had the best teacher. He had the best counselor. He had everything that he needed in a leadership position. But what happened? He was so greedy that he opened up himself to be used by Satan. And the possibility of us to be used by Satan is there's 100% chance that we can be used by Satan when it doesn't go back to the kingdom of God. We go back to Peter, the same thing. Jesus had to rebuke them because he said, who is speaking to me right now, it's not you, Peter. It is Satan using you at the moment, but I'm going to rebuke that, because Jesus goes back and points back that he's not about the kingdom. So the door that Peter allowed the enemy to speak was when it was not about the kingdom. The enemy's interest is not the kingdom. So we have to look at ourselves. It's like, okay, it's easier to judge, but I would always challenge people to ask these questions themselves. Okay, you're judging, you're hurt, but I want to ask, like, how did you contribute to all of that? Because it takes two to tangle. It takes two. Like, what did you do in this situation? How did you respond? Because what you did and how you responded also puts you in a place that you are responsible for what happened. Like, it's easier to blame other people so that we won't see our sins, so nobody points out our sins. It's easier to be hurt and point out at somebody that hurt us rather than us hurting other people. It's easier to do that. So my posture is like, man, if people hurt me, I always evaluate myself and I'm conscious about myself and I'm conscious about the decisions I've made. And I always go back to did I do it the way of the gospel? Did I do it the way of the kingdom? And if I didn't do it the way of the kingdom, then I start evaluating myself and I start correcting myself and I put myself in a posture always of humility, of telling people I apologize for that. I work on that. I'm a person that is growing. Forgive me. I don't know what else to say. I messed up. And people want so much more at times, like not realizing like they're idolizing leaders to be this perfect like example of Christ. And we're not a perfect example of Christ all the time. We are growing and we're stepping into leadership because we want to grow. We're stepping into leadership because we want to grow in Christ. We're stepping into leadership because we want people to see Christ. And the sad truth is not they're always going to see Christ. They're going to see parts of us that are not of Christ. But then those parts that are not of Christ, when they're pointed out, like we refine it, we make it better. If we're leaders, like we take the chance to grow in it. It's easier to be in the crowd than deciding to be a leader. And that's my take on that part.
Wow, that was really good. Well, thank you. I mean, you know, not like good, but so those are like questions that are about more like, you know, the congregation and parts of being the leadership, but I want to focus more on, I guess, on the leadership side. Like behind the curtain, I guess. Not, I shouldn't say the word curtain, but behind the door, or you know. But this thought came to me was about promotion, like self promotion. People who way back in the day, like I mean, when I first met you, there were certain people that were called. Like many are called, but few are chosen, right? Like people that pick it up, and so. Sometimes it's like people get into leadership and they just want to be the top dog. They want to be at the very top. And where I would say that like there was a part of me that used to like that idea way back in the beginning, being like this soldier, being feeling this like empowerment, I guess, like being chosen. It's just lots of different feelings. And so my biggest thing is like when I see people in like big churches and people are just saying like, oh, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet, like, you know, I am chosen, and it's just, I feel like it's a pride type thing. And I can feel like that right there like becomes so centered on yourself that it's like, where's God in that? Like we do church, and this is kind of what God had shown me, and I could be corrected, I'm open to that, but like as a church, the ministry that we're kind of being established is like the pastor is like Moses, and he's leading people, but Moses is not better than the people. He's just being chosen to like speak. Like they even said, the Israelites, Moses, go, you speak to God, like we're, you know, up on the mountain, like we're too scared, like no, you go. And you know what? Sometimes I think we put pastors as so high of a pedestal that it's really bad. Like it's just not good. And I think that's why people start saying the word, oh, that's cultish. Like they're just, it's a pyramid type thing where, you know, they're climbing up to the top. They can be this idol to be looked at. Like it's like, oh, it's so much cool. Like to be standing up on stage and everybody's looking at you. I'm on TV. And it's like the world, the secular world of idolatry. Like people, I was watching this YouTube video podcast with Stephanie Gretzinger and I forgot his other name, but it's from Iris Ministries. But she was talking about worship being a genre and how there are certain worship leaders that don't even hardly ever open up the Bible, but like sometimes like you could like she has Stephanie has said that she has experienced people who, I mean, the feeling of like they go and do worshiping God, but in their minds, they know that people are coming for them. You know, like these concerts that go across the country, like come worship night. you know, one night experience God, and it becomes like secular in the sense of like, I mean, it can be like where it's like people are going because of these big top dog like worship leaders, and oh, the spirit of God is there and stuff like that, and it becomes a music. And I'm not trying to push away that God can't use that, but just it's the leaders that are there that are thinking that people are coming to see them play, and I think that can be very dangerous as a worship leader and stuff. And so with that, even like probably about like 6 months, like last, just sometime last year, I remember there was a certain worship team, and I started having, I don't know why, but my heart started not feeling good towards them. Like, not saying that they're like what they're singing about is bad. But just, I felt like maybe God was warning me or just wanting to pray for them. But there were certain people in that worship team that were slipping, I would say. And ended up months later, something happening. And it really broke my heart that it happened. So I guess with that, what are your thoughts about promotion, self-promotion, the cultish, like people who are called, right? And so they get this entitlement, this oh, I gotta be promoted. And you know, like I'm the pastor, I want to speak on Sunday, that's my goal, like, you know, I want to, just that mentality. And you know, so yeah,
you know, Paul talks and addresses that if anybody leads in a way that is self-promoted, if self-ambitious, like it's greed, like God will deal with those people. I mean, anybody in leadership will be judged more strictly. If you're not judging here, you will be judged when he comes. And I think that the focus that Paul pointed us back to, like, okay, you're seeing that you know that these leaders are about themselves, but okay, but is the name of Jesus still being spoken? Like, focus on that. Are people still being saved? Like, focus on that. Like, God uses the things of this world that we think need work on to still glorify his name. He uses, like, people who are not there or using it for their own purpose. He still uses it for his own purpose. I mean, we look at even Satan, we look throughout biblically, like, God still uses him to be part of a testimony of what God wants to do. You know, so like, okay, I will allow you right now to go and do this to Job, you know, just don't take his life. And he allows it. But then we read about that story and we read about that testimony and how amazing God is in those areas where we can even glorify his name. Be like, wow, God, you were just faithful to the people who serve you. You were a faithful God. You were mighty. You were powerful. So like, as long as we focus ourselves in a place of, if Jesus being preached, is Jesus still like benefiting from all of this? Not looking at the person, because regardless, like I really believe that a lot of people and all of us, we grew up from a childhood where we didn't get what we our needs needed. You know, we didn't get the love that we needed from a parent, and then so as that we get to this place of insecurity that creates pride, that creates longing for that, that creates attention, that creates wanting people to see us as somebody because our parents didn't see us in that way or didn't communicate that and didn't know how to communicate it. So like, we can get stuck in that idea that thinking that when we're there, we are something. And you know, it's easier to point out, like I said, pointing out, judging other people. I mean, I'm seeing, you know, people who are famous, and this would be sad for me to be famous for judging other people, to be famous for that. Like that is something I do not want to be famous for or be known for, you know, proclaiming the kingdom of God, for bashing other ministers. Like if, you know, and then having other people just listen to me and my ideas and making sure that I'm the only one that is speaking truth and I'm the only one people should be following. Like that's also not the kingdom of God. There is secondary things about the, you know, there's secondary things that we read in scripture that are not as important that we can disagree on. that we can all be like, okay, I disagree on you on that. I disagree on you on that because of this scripture, that scripture. I disagree on you with that because of that scripture, that scripture. Okay, that's great. We still have repentance. We still have turning away from your own sinful life and turning into God. We know what the basic standard is of the gospel. And anything that is secondary, we can just look, move on from that and come back to like what is real and what is more important, that is, you know, giving our full life to Jesus, repenting, you know, forgiving one another, like living a sinless life, like thriving for what is the basic like need of someone that is a believer, you know. And we have other speakers who have become famous for bashing other people. I don't think that's also that's also a good thing, you know. So I think that, you know, anybody who is on the stage, like later, like we look at Saul, like not even David himself would take the chance to take him down. Like not even even though the Saul was wrong, he said, I will not touch the anointed of the Lord. Like his posture being one after God's heart, like he did not touch the anointed of the Lord. Like he did not touch the person that God has called for that moment. Like he did not even dare to do that. But he allowed God to do what he needed to do to get Saul out of that position. And we are all trying to be God over here, rather having a relationship with God, rather praying for them, rather asking for their deliverance, rather asking God that God will meet them in the closet. Like rather than fighting the real battle, we're fighting the fleshly battle that scripture is telling us not to fight. And so I think that anybody who wants it for their own fame and stuff like that, like, and all of that, like sooner or later, God will take care of that, and here and in heaven. And then the other thing, like that I'm also just thinking about, that I've gone to places that the anointed is not as heavy. Like you can have a huge crowd, you can have a really great worship, worship crew, and you see it on the TV, and you're like expecting for the same result, and you're like, man, I'm at this moment, like I'm going to experience something radical for what I saw on TV. You know, everybody seemed like they were having a great time. And you go in there and it's like, there's a crowd and you're like excited. You're like moving in. And then you realize like, no matter how much you worship, you don't feel such a thick anointing. And then you go to other smaller places, you feel like a greater anointing. Like you feel the presence of God even more heavier, you know? And it just shows like none of that really brings that like the fullness of God. And so our concentration is always like being after like who God is, the person of God, the reality of the presence of God that is alive and active, the Spirit of God, and following that is good, you know, that he is the only one that is good. And we'll realize it when we walk into those environments. So yeah, I think that we have to be okay at church with not getting our way. I think a lot of us are not okay with, like, we feel like we have to get our way. Okay, listen, nobody sees you as someone special, but God sees you as someone special. Like, why do you need affirmation from other human beings rather than God? Like, if you are such a great person in the Lord, why do you need other people to affirm you when you have God who has affirmed your calling, who is calling you to his purpose? Like, why? Like, why concentrate so much on what people can give you and forget the anointing God gave you? Like David knew that he defeated Goliath. He came in. He still had to learn to be a king. And he did not take that place right after. But he continued the journey of following God. He continued the relationship with God and allowed God to make that opening. He didn't do it himself. So a lot of us, I think that we're more insecure than secure in God. We're more insecure about our calling than secure in the calling that God gave us. So we're looking at after other people that can give us that possibility, like of being that without like recognizing that it's God who's going to give us that position. And I love this, like that's what God wants to start in us. Start a movement that, okay, leaders didn't give you that opportunity, but God has given you that opportunity. You think you have a lot in God? Start a Bible study. You think like you are so much better? Start a Bible study. Go pray for the sick. Go pray for people. Go get people for Jesus. If it's not about you, go do it then. Like, why are you going to attend a church service and curse the people that God is putting there to lead? Why are you going to be so grumpy towards them and forgetting that you're supposed to be supportive towards the kingdom of God? That if Christ is being preached, you and yourself are like, are content with that. You're there for Jesus. You're not there to judge people. You're not there to see who is unholy. You're not there to see who is not walking with Jesus. You're not there to see, like, you are there to be a minister of the gospel by the way that you show the fruit of the Spirit. And then if you come into scenarios that are not okay, great. Talk to the people that you need to talk to. Don't, you know, the Bible directs us to talk to the main person you have a problem with. But yet we're so passive aggressive. We're not willing to communicate our needs. And we expect other people to just think that that's a conversation. Spread out hatred in that way and giving like hints of I'm not really happy than really having the tough conversations. Like that just shows the immaturity of a person. And then we have, you know, we talk about pastors and all of that. Actually, biblically, there is no such thing as a pastor being the main leader. We have the head that is Christ, and then we have apostles and prophets. And that's what I believe the church is missing. The apostles teaching, missing the prophets teaching, like, we as a body, we are missing those big parts of the body that Paul says that God has given us greater parts of the body, but that doesn't make any other part any less or valuable. But he's given us parts of the body that other people want to be molded into and other people want to be, but they cannot be because it's not a part of their DNA in God. So then they suffer and they struggle because they can't see it coming to their pass. When what about their position? It's actually just to serve the church. And be an evangelist wherever they go at work and be part of that movement. So that's the way that I always see it. Like we get so caught up in the wrong things. Like, yes, if there's injustice, we need to get it out. If there is affairs happening, those are all important things that need to be talked about. Those are all things that need to be exposed. Those are all things that need to be communicated. Those are all things. It's like there's being abused in the church. Those are all need to be communicated. But because you did not get your way, and you think you're someone special, you need to humble yourself. You need to humble yourself. You're not God. So that's my take on that.
Wow, that was really good. Wow. So there's a scripture that came, that I was reading the other day from John chapter 7, when he goes to the Festival of Tabernacles. And verse 3, it says, so Jesus' brothers came to advise him, saying, why don't you leave the countryside villages and go to Judea where the crowds are, so that your followers can see your miracles? No one can see what you're doing here in the backwoods of Galilee. How do you expect to be successful and famous if you do all these things in secret? Now is your time. Go to Jerusalem, come out of hiding, and show the world who you are. And then it says his brothers were pushing him, even though they didn't believe in him as the Savior. So they wanted to get popularity. I mean, this is the Passion Translation. I just mm-hmm. like this translation for that part. But it just kind of was like showing that, like, oh, Jesus is getting a crowd. You know, let's get, you know, like try to become popular, or like get this movement going. It's just showing that, like, a heart sometimes. But when it comes about promotion, like, there's no other, like, place I would like to talk about, but then, like, David, he grew in God and he grew in favor with, you know, God and people. I think it's like promotion comes, like, just allow God to do it naturally if he wants to use you. But in the book of James, if you have faith, like, and you have works, like, put, you know, like, if you have faith, put it to work. I know there's people that have works, but they don't have faith. Yeah. But it needs to go hand in hand. You need to have faith and works. And so if you believe that God is with you, if you believe that God can heal the sick, if God can, you know, speak to the people around you, your coworkers, God will sometimes put it on your heart to go speak to somebody, to bless somebody. And so you just put that to work. Okay, I believe God can be anywhere. You know, he's everywhere. Like, he's with me. He's with, you know, he loves everybody. And he wants them. And so when it comes about, like, promotion, like, is it about people, or is it about, is it about us, or is it about God? Because really, at the end of the day, if it's about God, we will do His works, right? And we would feed the orphans and the widows and take care of them. That's what it says, is that that's one of the ministries, like, standards, is that we see people in need, we help them out. And one thing too about churches that are honestly about themselves, gossip and stuff like that does not have allies. It really doesn't have friends. It will speak about anybody. And so a house divided will not stand. So if your church is speaking about the people coming in on Sundays, who says they're not talking about each other, the leaders, amongst themselves? And if that's what's happening, that church will then fall. And one of the things I think about church hurt, is talking about faith and works, is like people who watch sports. You have basketball team, football. There's a part that's called the sidelines. It's where the backup players are. And sometimes there's backup players that don't get used for the entire game. And so with that, with being a follower of Christ, if we're a sideliner, if we're just somebody who just sits down and watches, and never does, all I've seen it, and I can and it's just that we become we just complain. We just see what they're doing, other people are doing, the movements, and we can end up getting so caught up in, like, jealousy, bitterness, like, oh, like in our hearts we hope that they fail so that way we can feel good that we that because we didn't do anything. And I've been there where I didn't do anything for a while, and I became stagnant, complacent, and I would see other people start doing things, and I would feel like this condemnation of, like, oh, I'm not doing enough, I'm not. And that becomes about works then at that same time though. And so it's like, if we need to be plugged in a church, like with helping people to be doing the works of Christ, to be spending time with Him. So before any works has to be done, like, we have to be filled by Him, by Jesus. We have to be encouraged to be full of His love, because if we do anything without love, it's pointless. It's there's no it, it's worthless. You can do all these things, but if you don't love, 1 Corinthians 13. We need to have love as a standard of why we're doing what we're doing. It's our why. Because we're doing it for Jesus, because we love Him. And so I think it's like Christians need to stop being asleep, stop being on the sidelines, stop looking at leaders or being, I'm team this church, I'm team this pastor. Because even Paul talks about it. Like, why are you saying, team Paul, or is it team Silas? I believe that other person was in the book of Acts. Like, why are you picking sides? We're all following Jesus. Follow Him. That is who you are supposed to follow. And start doing the work. Start being active. Because if you become complacent, become stagnant, it's like a cup. It just gets moldy. The water sits there on the table or whatever, and the mold just starts to grow eventually over time. It doesn't actually get cleansed out by being with God and then being active. We get bitter, like, oh, why are they doing all this? Like, oh man, like, people are taking risks, and risk sometimes has a good result or a bad result. It's, there's certain consequences too for mistakes that we make, but the fact is taking risk, and there's grace in that. So I guess, like, the last question I will ask is this. With everything, with the leaders, with you did talk about a little bit about it, about passive aggressiveness, about going to the person, but how can we overcome hurt? How can we overcome the leadership? If God has called us to be, let's say, at said point in place of this church, at said church, God called the people. You were called there, like, you're part of the congregation, and you've really wanted to help out. But now you're starting to see some of the congregations kind of hurt you. You've seen some of the leaders hurt you. Do we just jump ship and be like, I'm out of here, like some people do? Or do they stick around and try to reconcile, try to be obedient to where you are? Some people are like, I want to be obedient, but I just feel like I've been so hurt. I don't know, I feel like I should just leave. you know, how can we overcome the hurt? How can we, even as a leader, how can we diffuse that? Like, how can we, as something that's already been, that's already happened, let's say with your church, there's a hurt that's been placed, and how can we resolve this for the other people coming in who may have experienced something, right? Like, as a leader, as a person who's in the congregation, like from two different viewpoints, so it's probably going to have like a two different answer, right? So someone's viewpoint on the congregation and someone's viewpoint on the leadership, because I think you've been in both, right? You've been as a congregation, you've been the person who is the attendee, and you've also been a leader. Yeah. So when you've seen hurt from both sides, like, how can we resolve it? So someone who's hearing this, like, who's like, I want to love the people around my church, and I want to love my leaders. And then second part of that question would be, if you are a leader and you've seen your own church hurt from another member, right? Is that, how can we, what can we do? So
I think the hardest thing is when people get too scared of confrontation. And I think that there's a place where we have to step into a place not of thinking that we're going to go there or argue or win something or make a point or make us seem like we're right, but get to a point of allowing God's peace to come in it, of allowing God's understanding to come in it, not allowing any misinformation, any misunderstanding to take place, but work on everything that is misunderstanding. Okay, why do you think that way? How you saw that situation in that way? You were hurt in that way. I see this other person that was hurt in this way. And, you know, when you have those conversations that are tough, like, I really believe that demonic forces that have influence people don't want to have those tough conversations, because they know that you need to, it has to put you in a place of humility, and that place of humility brings deliverance, because it's exposing everything that the enemy is doing in a person. So if conversations like that exposes like the toxic of the enemy and brings us back to the center of who God is. And I think conversations like that is to bring deliverance over the church. It's not that the church is it's going bad. It's that we're seeing an attack of the enemy. We have to put on the full armor of God. We have to know what the word of God says. We have to apply the word of God in the moment. We cannot get too emotional. We cannot allow our emotions to navigate our faith. We have to allow the word of God to navigate our faith. We cannot let our emotions, our thoughts, our hurt, and all of that before, in order for us to stand in a place of like, I am willing to talk even though that I'm hurt, is being in a place of submission to God. I'm going to submit to God and the authority of God for the benefit of the kingdom, not for the benefit of what I want, not for the benefit of what I want to see, but for the benefit of what I want to see done on earth that belongs to the kingdom, that the kingdom wants to do. So operating all out of that brings a great strategy from the kingdom to bring deliverance over the church and start a healing process. Checking in with each other, making sure out of the conversations you're still checking in, you're not keeping record of wrongs. But keeping record of wrong doesn't mean that you won't be reminded of the wrong. It means that you are making the decision to not keep that against that person. So if you're remembering that the same situation and is the enemy trying to knock on the door to give you the same tape again so that you can experience the same hurt again, you're rejecting the tape and you're saying, no, I'm going to put the tape of Christ. I'm going to put the tape of, I'm not going to hold that against him, but I'm going to try to build a new relationship. I'm going to try to build healing in the moment. I'm going to allow God to heal this. So when you're experiencing that from the side of the congregation, the crowd to leadership, I think, like I said, it's harder to be in a leadership position than in a place where you're not leading, you know, that you're easily like judging. And, you know, I've been a part of, like you said, the three process of being in a congregation, learning, being in leadership, and being in a main position of leading. In the main position of leading, I have accountability from other mentors. I've always had accountability with and leadership, and it's a growing stage. But if we're always allowing a hurt to dictate our next step, We won't grow the way that God wants us to grow. We will miss the opportunity or the blessing that's in store for us in the name of Jesus because we stepped in obeying our feelings. So we always have to wait for God. If God wants you to leave, he will tell you to leave a certain church. But if God is not telling you to leave, and you're seeing that there's a lot of things going on in the church that are not okay. There's a lot of pride, there's corruption, whatever. You are called to make a difference in the church. You are called to shine the light on those things by being an example. When somebody comes to gossip, you don't gossip. When somebody comes with hatred, you don't hate. When somebody comes with unforgiveness, you don't also not forgive. Like, you set the example and you always turn them back to the word of God. People that are so grounded in their flesh hate when you give them the option of what the truth of God says. Hate to hear that they actually have to take a step towards what God is calling them to take a step that is based on the word of God. Like, when you are so caught up in that flesh, it won't allow you to activate the word of God. So if you wanted to leave a place, make sure that you're always like leaving honorably. You don't want to leave disrespectfully. You don't want to, I'm leaving because you guys suck at this and you've never communicated like what was hurt. You're just leaving like nobody knows why. Like, that's not a great example of someone who is fruitful in the Lord. The great example is communicating to your pastor, communicating to the leaders. Hey, I've already talked to you guys about this. This is a going on issue. And it's just not working out. The Lord is really bringing me out of this to another place. Thank you guys for being there. Like, and just leaving in an honorable way, making sure that you leave in an honorable, as long as it depends on you, you have to live in that peace and live honorably, with other people. Being obedient to stay, we're not gratifying the desires of our flesh. It's not about me. It's about God's spirit. It's about God and what he thinks. So being obedient to God in the process, not being obedient to yourself. I think that is a huge, it's just an important factor in our life. Not being obedient to our flesh, but to God.
Thank you. So we're getting towards the end of this podcast. Reconciliation is the biggest one. And if you're part of a congregation I would ask God. There was a church, like my first primary church I remember going to. And I remember there was another church that my friend was going to that he had left the church I was going to go to another one that he really liked. And I wanted to start going to that one I had some interest as well. And so I remember asking God I had this thought about like actually leaving and going. I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to do it. I like this church. There's more young people there and stuff. And which isn't bad, but I think the reason wasn't good enough or for like from what God wanted, because I had a dream and I remember like reaching for this cupboard and God said, not yet. The door closed on the cupboard. So I was reaching for something that I was desiring. And that's how God kind of spoke to me of like, stay where you are. So I ended up not transitioning like out of that church to another church and just stayed. And that's in that same year, I ended up meeting Ephraim and his Bible study, which then turned into a church, a house church. And that's where God was wanting me to go. But I knew that with my first church I went to that I was not supposed to stay there. Like I had the dream prior to the cabinet being closed was that God wanted me to move. And so, but the other church my friend was going to, that church I thought it was going to be. And I liked it from what I've seen, but that was not where I was called to be. Just to give context, but so if we're going to leave a church, I think it's best to ask God first, get confirmation, not to just go off of our feelings, because feelings come and go. And I think sometimes we're called to show loyalty and love and compassion. And if we're, especially if we're a part of leadership, we're all going to go through, you know, people are people, just like a job, you know, you have coworkers, but what I've learned is that when you show compassion towards people, like love brings me, you know, his loving kindness brings us to repentance. So if we love people and we choose reconciliation, let God do the work and, you know, let God do the healing. But sometimes there are people who are called to be taken out of leadership, and that's a whole different story. But just want to say thank you, Efrain, for joining us. And any last comments or things you want to say?
No, thank you for having me. I appreciate this talk. And I just hope that everybody continues to be led by the Lord and continue to stay blessed in the presence of God.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. And until next time, we hope you really just grasp this and, you know, hope it grows you and just fills you up. Thank you, guys.